The following episode of Lyrics of Their Life podcast contains serious and graphic depictions of violence and sexual references, and may be distressing to some listeners. If you at any time require support, please contact your local crisis centre. Listener discretion is advised. Hello and welcome to Lyrics of Their Life, The Story Behind, the podcast where we uncover the true stories behind the songs you know and love. I'm your host, Adam Hampton, and in this episode, we're exploring a somewhat forgotten but deeply powerful hit known as The Killing of Georgie, Parts 1 and 2, by Rod Stewart. Inspired by the real-life murder of a close friend in 1970s New York, The Killing of Georgie tells the heartbreaking story of a young gay man whose life was taken simply because of who he was. At a time when homosexuality was still criminalized in many parts of the world, and violence against the gay community was tragically common, it was a bold and courageous move for a global rock star like Rod Stewart to shine a light on such a painful reality. So, how did this deeply personal tragedy become one of the most socially significant songs of the 1970s? Let's take a closer look at the story behind the song and how it became etched into music history.
Prince has died at the age of 57.
This is it.
Sorry, Gary, but I was always the talented member of the band.
Keep booing, little girl. I will hit a man with glasses.
I'm really happy for you. I'm gonna let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
Former Beatle John Lennon, who was 40, was shot and killed last night outside his luxury apartment in New York.
Has-beens shouldn't present fucking awards to Gunna Be.
Leave Britney alone!
Leading up to the release of The Killing of Georgie, from 1971 to 1975, Rod Stewart had rose from a critically acclaimed rocker from North London to a global superstar, known best for his iconic raspy voice and flamboyant bohemian glam rock appearance. As he would score four consecutive number one albums in the UK, including the classic album Every Picture Tells a Story, which was a global smash hit, along with the countless classic songs he produced during this period, like Maggie May, You Wear It Well, Sailing, and I Don't Want to Talk About It, just to name a few. And while his solo career was reaching incredible heights, Rod had also experienced success with the British rock band The Jeff Beck Group, alongside Jeff Beck, of course, and future Rolling Stones bass guitarist Ronnie Wood, before both Rod and Ronnie joined a band named The Faces, formerly known as Small Faces, during 1969, with their 1971 album A Nod Is As Good As A Wink to a Blind Horse charting at number 2 on the UK charts and within the top 10 in Australia, Canada and the US. It was while Rod was a part of The Faces during 1974 when the story behind The Killing of Georgie actually originated, as the man named George, referenced in the song, was a good friend of the band, and in particular with the band's keyboard player Mac, aka Ian McLagan. As Rod revealed to The Guardian, quote, "I only knew him fleetingly. He would play songs for us and say, 'Have you heard this?' I remember him turning us on to Sam and Dave, singing Nighttime Is the Right Time. I can tell you, he was a hell of a good-looking guy. While Rod later explained that he was closer to both him and Mac than the rest of the band, as he told Mojo in a 1995 interview, quote, "That was a true story about a gay friend of the Faces. He was especially close to me and Mac, but he was shot or knifed. I can't remember which. That was a song I wrote totally on me own over the chord of open E." According to Rod and the lyrics in the song itself, George was killed simply due to his sexuality, as he was a gay man who had only just moved to the city of New York after being rejected and shamed by his parents due to his sexuality. During the 70s, despite steps being taken in the New York City district around acceptance of the homosexual community, through protests, movements, and the rise in the number of gay establishments like bars, being gay was still widely viewed as shameful or carried a stigma, while in some states it was considered illegal or a mental disorder. This led sadly to many men and women hiding their sexuality for fear of rejection from society, family, or friends, leading to higher suicide rates or even the fear of being bashed in the streets or killed. During the 1970s, violence against gay men was disturbingly common across much of the world. In Sydney, Australia, for example, homosexuality remained illegal in New South Wales until 1984. Between the 1970s and early 1990s, dozens of gay men were murdered, many cases were mishandled or left unsolved. Bashings were frequent and countless assaults went unreported due to fear of police or public shame. Similar patterns were also unfolding in the United States. Targeted attacks were rising and high-profile tragedies, including arson attacks on gay venues and serial killings, highlighted just how dangerous it could be to simply exist openly. Off the back of making a comeback with the successful UK number one album, Atlantic Crossing, and the breakup of the band The Faces in 1975, on the 18th of June 1976, the now 31-year-old Rod Stewart would release his seventh studio album, titled A Night on the Town, which rose to number one in six countries, including Australia and the UK, while also reaching number two in the US and selling over 5.5 million copies worldwide. Included on that album was the UK number one, The First Cut is the Deepest, and the US number one, Tonight's the Night. However, also included as the second single from the album was the 6.5-minute song, The Killing of Georgie, Part 1 and 2. Released on the 13th of August 1976, The Killing of Georgie was a big hit in the UK at the time, reaching number 2 on the UK chart and spending 10 weeks there. However, perhaps due to the content spoken about in the song, it only reached number 30 in the US and number 38 in Australia. The soft rock song sees Rod deliver a love letter of sorts to his friend George, as Rod tells his story from his struggles as a young man, dealing with the lack of acceptance from his parents before being cast out of home, only to finally discover and embrace his sexuality in New York City. As Rod sings the poetic lines, "Georgie boy was gay, I guess, nothing more or nothing less. The kindest guy I ever knew. His mother's tears fell in vain. The afternoon, George tried to explain that he needed love like all the rest. Pa said there must be a mistake. How can my son not be straight after all I've said and done for him? Leaving home on a Greyhound bus, cast out by the ones he loves, a victim of these gay days, it seems. Georgie went to New York town, where he quickly settled down, and soon became the toast of the Great White Way." Rod goes on to mention how George found his people in New York, and through his infectious and lovable personality, he built a positive and stable life for himself, even finding love and rubbing shoulders with the esteemed Broadway scene. Sadly, however, the song then takes a dark turn as George and his boyfriend decide to take a shortcut home after leaving a Broadway show early, only to be set upon by a gang of youths, as Rod sings the intense and tragic lines, "Out of a darkened side street came a New Jersey gang with just one aim, to roll some innocent passerby. There ensued a fearful fight, screams rang out in the night. Georgie's head hit a sidewalk cornerstone. A leather kid, a switchblade knife, he did not intend to take his life. He just pushed his luck a little too far that night. The sight of blood dispersed the gang. A crowd gathered, the police came. An ambulance screamed to a halt on 53rd and 3rd. Rod then goes on to mention that George's life ended there on that street before imparting some of the wisdom that George had passed on to him before he died. As part one of the song ends and part two, or the second half of the song, begins, as the song slows and Rod can be heard crying out, "Georgie, please stay. You take our breath away." Rod later revealed that he didn't actually remember George's surname and that some of the details were added during the song for poetic or dramatic effect, even taking a somewhat sympathetic approach to one of the young offenders, despite not knowing the full situation. As he told The Guardian, quote, "I wasn't on the scene when it happened, so I embellished a bit. That was poetic license. I thought maybe they didn't mean to take his life. Maybe they just meant to do him over." Reviews for the song would be mixed to positive, with some critics claiming that Rod was brave and broke new ground, singing about a topic that was quite taboo at the time, and that he was the first to bring much-needed attention to the topic, highlighting how ridiculous it was that people were causing harm to others just because of their sexuality. While his record label Reva Records and Warner Brothers both gave it the green light despite the stigma. Other critics claimed it was a risky move for his career and could signal the end of him, with the BBC even banning it initially from being played on their radio stations, despite other stations playing the song repeatedly, with Rod stating that they essentially blocked the song because it dealt with homosexuality, that no one had written about it before, and because it mentioned the word gay. Eventually, however, they lifted the ban as it began to rise up the charts. This came after the song Tonight's the Night also had its ban lifted, with the lyric "Spread Your Wings and Let Me Come Inside" originally earning the song a ban also. Rod would also come under fire from certain critics for the melody in the second half of the song, known as Part 2, which was said to be similar to the Beatles' classic Don't Let Me Down, with Rod telling The Guardian, quote, "It does sound like it. Nothing wrong with a good steal. I'm sure if you look back to the 60s, you'd find other songs with those three chords and that melody line." It didn't seem to faze the Beatles too much, however, when during a 1980 interview, John Lennon stated, quote, "The lawyers never noticed." When asked if the song was risky or why he wrote a song about the gay community, Rod told Mojo in 1995, quote, "It's probably because I was surrounded by gay people at that stage. I had a gay PR man, a gay manager. Everyone around me was gay. I don't know whether that prompted me into it or not. I think it was a brave step, but it wasn't a risk. You can't write a song like that unless you've experienced it. But it was a subject that no one had approached before, and I think it still stands up today." Rod also explained in an interview with The Guardian that he never intended to write a gay anthem of sorts, and that it just sort of happened that way, when he was inspired by the death of his friend, as he said, quote, "If someone said to me, sit down and write a song about a gay man, it would have frightened the daylights out of me. It would have seemed an almighty challenge. I just love stories with a beginning, middle, and end, and this certainly has that. Rod Stewart himself had even been the target of homophobic slander over the years due to his flamboyant glam rocker look, despite this of course being his stage persona and being a straight man, known for dating and marrying high-profile models and actresses. While others thought he was a part of the community due to his pro-stance on the matter. Rod was even the brunt of a horrible rumour that circulated during the 70s to 80s, allegedly by a disgruntled former publicist of Rod's named Tony Toon, as it was alleged that Rod once had to get his stomach pumped to extract a gallon of semen from his stomach, after giving oral sex to a group of male sailors. A terrible sadistic rumour that sadly became urban legend and did some damage to his reputation over the years, despite there being no evidence to support the claim, and Rod denying it ever happened in his autobiography, stating that his ex-publicist spread the malicious rumours out of spite due to being sacked. As Rod jokingly stated, quote, "I have never orally pleasured even a solitary sailor, let alone a ship's worth in one evening." While hatred and violence towards the gay community continued over the decades, The Killing of Georgie would go on to be a pivotal song in helping the gay community move forward and heal, not only creating awareness around these unnecessary tragedies, but helping individuals who are struggling with their sexuality to come out. Over the years, Rod claimed that many people had thanked him for writing such an empathetic song, as he essentially helped break down cultural barriers at the time. As he told The Guardian, quote, "I've had gay people thank me for the song many, many times. Recently, the boyfriend of a big-time British Olympic champion came up to me and said he heard it when he was 17, and he said it gave him some identity and independence, which is wonderful." In particular, the song was instrumental in the coming out of 80s pop icon Boy George of Culture Club, who was best known for songs like Karma Chameleon and Do You Really Wanna Hurt Me, as well as his colourful and flamboyant appearance. As he revealed that at the age of 15, his mother suspected he was gay, but didn't know how to approach the subject, so she bought him a copy of the single, The Killing of Georgie, and slipped it into a brown paper bag before telling him, quote, "I've left you something in your sock drawer, son. I think you'll like it." With Boy George stating, quote, "It was her way of saying, I kind of understand, but I don't want to talk about it." Boy George went on to claim that he was eternally grateful for this song, and even performed a beautiful rendition of the song a handful of times over the years alongside Rod. A film based off of the song and story of Georgie, called The Killing of Georgie, was said to have even been in the works during the 80s, with John Mellencamp set to star in the film, however, it never got off the ground. Rod also claimed it would be one of his favourite songs to perform live over the years, telling The Guardian, quote, "I used to camp it up something terrible when we played the song. We used to have a lamppost come down onto the stage, I'd lean on it and sing. One day, that lamppost actually came toppling down onto Rod during a performance of the song, claiming it knocked him to the ground in front of 18,000 people, before joking that the song and the lamppost were now officially retired. The song would be removed from Rod's set list for a decade before being re-added during 2016. While The Killing of Georgie doesn't get the same appreciation and radio airplay as it once did in the UK, it was definitely ahead of its time, as it forced society to take a good hard look at itself and push for human rights. Today the song remains as relevant as ever and is a constant reminder that we mustn't ever return to those dark days where innocent individuals are preyed upon due to their differences, While it was deemed to be a risk by some to potentially end Rod's career, it actually did the complete opposite, because now, at the age of 81, Rod continues to perform to this very day, after a wonderful career spanning over 60 years. He is recognised as one of the greatest artists to ever live, entering the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice, scoring 10 number one albums in the UK, 6 number one singles, and a whopping 120 million albums sold worldwide, making him one of the best-selling artists of all time. Now, 50 years on, The Killing of Georgie remains more than a song. It's a reminder of a life lost and a voice that chose empathy over silence, helping to break down barriers at a time when few dared to speak. And that wraps up this episode of Lyrics of Their Life podcast. Thank you all for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. If this is your first time tuning in to our show, don't forget to hit the follow or subscribe button so you don't miss our future episodes. And if you're really enjoying the show, a quick rating or review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts goes a long way in helping us to grow. If you would like to follow the podcast, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, X, and TikTok at Lyrics of Their Life Podcast, or on our website at lyricsoftheirlife.com for updates and more. If you'd like to support the podcast further and help keep episodes like this coming, you can head over to my Patreon at patreon.com/lyricsoftheirlifepodcast, or you can buy me a coffee over at buymeacoffee.com/lyricsoflifepod. Every bit of support means the world to me and helps make episodes like this one possible. Whether you're a long-time listener or just discovering the show for the first time, thank you for being here and supporting the show in whatever form that comes in. Thanks again for listening. I'm your host, Adam Hampton, and this is Lyrics of Their Life.